In an open letter on FedEx's website Monday, Smith challenged the publisher of the New York Times, A.G. Sulzberger, and the paper's business section editor to a public debate in Washington, D.C. The dramatic move came one day after the Times published a front-page story titled, "How FedEx Cut Its Tax Bill to Zero," alleging the courier service's taxes dropped from $1.5 billion in 2017 to nothing in 2018, thanks to President Trump's tax cut, something Smith had lobbied hard to pass.
HP says it's open to exploring a bid for U.S. printer maker Xerox in a move that could turn the tables on Xerox's own bid for HP. Responding to that on Sunday, HP said the Xerox offer significantly undervalued the personal computer maker, adding that a cash and stock offer of $33.5 billion would saddle a combined company with, quote, outsized debt.
The owner of TikTok wants to focus on adding users of the popular video app in countries outside its strongest markets as the Chinese-owned company faces political pressure in the United States. That's according to an internal staff note seen by Reuters from the founder and CEO of Beijing-based ByteDance, which owns TikTok. The note comes after lawmakers in the U.S. recently voiced concerns about its collection of user data and whether China censors content seen by U.S. users.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Tuesday. It's November the 19th, and it's 5:11 in the morning. Thank you for tuning in for another edition of The Opening Bell and another business day getting underway here. We've put together a really good broadcast for you today, just as the mayor gets ready to go to city council on this ride-sharing congestion fee or tax, whichever you call it. Audrey Wenig will be here. She's the director of transportation at the Metropolitan Planning Council. We'll go a little bit more in depth on why the mayor is doing this, why she wants to have this tax in place, this congestion fee, as it's also being called. That'll be first up this morning at about 5:18 this morning. A little bit later in the program, you're probably gearing up for your holiday shopping season if you already haven't started. And John Lear will be here, an analyst at Morning Consult, to talk about the economic outlook and some consumer trends for the holiday shopping season. That'll be at about 5:48 this morning. We'll also check in with Orion Samuelson at about 5:38 on agriculture and agribusiness. So stay with us. We've got a great show for you today. News, weather, sports, and traffic, as well as we move through the 5 o'clock hour right here on 720 WGN. But first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, futures are pointing toward opening gains on Wall Street a little bit later this morning. Dow and S&P futures are up about a third this morning. Dow futures up 83 points. NASDAQ futures up nearly a half a percent this morning. As we look around the globe, in Europe, markets are generally in the green. The trading day fully underway there. In London, up nearly 89 points, almost a percent and a quarter. In Germany, up almost a percent and a quarter. The DAX is up 153 points. In France, markets are up nearly a half a percent as well. In Asia, the trading day ending there with the Nikkei off nearly a half a percent, down 124 points. In Hong Kong, markets up nearly 412 points. In China, markets up almost three-quarters of a percent. And oil is trading at $54.46 a barrel in the United States. A couple of big stories as we begin this morning. The founder of prepaid wireless phone company Boost Mobile is offering as much as $2 billion to buy the brand back from Sprint. Peter Atherton announced the offer in an interview with Reuters yesterday. Sprint has been trying to, since last year, to merge with T-Mobile. Atherton has said repeatedly the merger would hurt low-income people who depend on prepaid phone deals. Australian airline Qantas is marking its 100th year with $100 seats. For 4 days, the airline will offer $100 one-way tickets to the land down under from Los Angeles, San Francisco, Dallas-Fort Worth, and Chicago. The sale started yesterday, but tickets are limited to 100 each day. Bill Gates is once again the richest man in the world. The Microsoft co-founder climbed over Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos on the Bloomberg Billionaires Index. Gates was still holding on to the top spot with a total net worth of $110 billion. Bezos was second at $109 billion. France's Bernard Arnault came in third at $102 billion. Arnault oversees a luxury goods group that includes brands like Louis Vuitton and Sephora. Our first guest this morning will help us shed a little bit more light on the reasoning behind a potential tax or congestion fee focused on ride-sharing companies. Audrey Wenick joins us, Director of Transportation at the Metropolitan Planning Council. The Metropolitan Planning Council is an independent, nonprofit, nonpartisan organization that focuses on developing, promoting, and implementing solutions for the Chicago area. And Audrey, good morning. Welcome back to WGN.
Good morning.
Let's focus in a little bit on why this is happening. I know that the headlines, depending on the headlines you read, some have put this as a tax on rideshare companies. Others focus on the congestion fee part of this. That's the bigger part of it, isn't it? The bigger reason is this congestion issue.
Right. The idea is to increase the fees in the downtown zone, so to disincentivize single passenger ride hail rides into the most congested part of the city.
So I'm looking at a map now. The boundaries are North Avenue to the north, Roosevelt Road to the south. It looks like there's a zigzag, but it looks like Ashland to the west, Lakeshore Drive to the east. Talk to us a little bit about the congestion that the Metropolitan Planning Council sees in that zone.
Right. Well, one indicator of congestion is the speeds of CTA buses. And it has been reported that buses in the downtown zone operated about 6.3 miles per hour, whereas outside the downtown, they're about 10 miles per hour. So all traffic is going much slower. Additionally, we know that half of all Lyft, Uber, and Via trips begin or end in the downtown area. And nearly a third of them both start and end in downtown. So that's really creating a lot of congestion.
Did you expect the blowback that you've seen from this? I know the mayor is getting a lot of blowback. There's a protest at City Hall that there, and I know we've been seeing some advertisements from Uber and others in opposition to this. Were you expecting the blowback?
Well, people can be very sensitive to any type of fee, but this is really a reasonable thing to do because the city owns the city streets and operates the city streets, and it's really appropriate to try to incentivize the most sustainable forms of transportation. We have a ton of transit in the downtown area, and we want more people to use environmentally friendly and sustainable forms of transportation where they're possible.
Yeah, and this is not something that's just come out of the blue either. There are some other major cities that have done this. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, sure. I mean, at a global scale, there are other major cities that have approached congestion pricing, like London, Stockholm, Hong Kong. And the purpose of that is really to increase the environmental friendliness of transportation, to reduce congestion, et cetera. In New York, it's been proposed to do cordon pricing, which is different than what we're seeing here in Chicago right now. And the main purpose of that was to raise revenue to fix their transit system. And that's something that we're going to see here in Chicago with this fee. Some of this fee is going to go to CTA to improve transit. So that's going to benefit everybody in the city.
Yeah, you mentioned the issue of having that buses run a little slower. There's evidence of that. There's also evidence of people just not using public transportation as much, not only here, but in those other cities as well. And there are some dramatic numbers from some places.
Yeah, transit ridership has gone down significantly in the past few years in Chicago. And a lot of those people that have that would have ridden transit are now using ride hail. And, you know, the idea is if you increase the fee on a ride hail trip to perhaps closer to the cost of a transit fare, people may think about it twice.
One of the other arguments against this fee, this congestion fee, is that it's going to impact the employment and livelihoods of people who are driving these cars. How significant of an argument is that?
Well, you know, that's certainly, you know, That's not really a primary focus here. I mean, the focus is to make the city streets operate efficiently and to get people where they need to go efficiently and sustainably. So it's a reasonable tax from the standpoint of managing the downtown space, which is really, really constrained. And, you know, a CTA bus can carry almost 60 people. A single occupant in a car is the least efficient use of city space.
Since 2015, between 2015 and 2018, the number of ride-hailing trips taken in Chicago has almost tripled. And in some other cities, we're seeing it up 300% in some places. Would it be better to have no vehicles, none of these vehicles at all going into the downtown? Is that where we're headed?
Not necessarily. I mean, some people want to use these types of vehicles, and they certainly, if they want to pay a premium, they certainly can do that. But I think the idea here is to reduce the congestion at the peak period. So the time frame for this fee is from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. And that's when there's the most provision of transit. And that's really the most sustainable option.
I know the Metropolitan Planning Council is involved in a lot of different policy issues. How would you rank this one among all of those, and the mayor's focus on it being so top of mind lately? Is it appropriate for her to be focusing on this as she is now?
Yeah, it certainly is. It's really important that we have a balanced and healthy transportation system. If you look at air quality, transportation accounts for 25% of all greenhouse gas emissions, and the particulate matter that comes out of vehicles really affects people's health. So there are a lot of really good reasons to pay attention to this.
Well, Audrey, we appreciate you being on with us this morning and giving us a little bit of analysis on this. Thank you.
Happy to be here. Thanks.
Audrey Wenig, a director of transportation at the Metropolitan Planning Council. You can find them online and read more about this as well at metroplanning.org.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning again, everyone. Welcome back to the program. It is Tuesday here in The Opening Bell. Airbus has overtaken Boeing for the title of best-selling airplane of all time. The Boeing 737 had been in the top spot, but after its 737 MAX variants were grounded after fatal crashes and safety issues, Airbus has been closing the gap. The European aircraft maker's A320 family of planes is now number one with nearly 15,200 orders through the end of October. Boeing shares this morning have been in the green, mostly up nearly a half a percent to a percent. Chick-fil-A says it will no longer donate to two Christian charities following protest from the LGBTQ community. The Fast Food Chains Foundation previously donated millions of dollars to the Salvation Army and the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Both organizations have been criticized for opposing same-sex marriage, prompting several demonstrations at various Chick-fil-A locations. The company says it will now give to a number of organizations working exclusively in education, homeless, and hunger. Federal agencies are taking steps to keep a crop killer out of the U.S. Customs and Border Protection says it will be doing more inspections on imported tomato and pepper fruit. It's part of an effort to prevent the tomato brown rugose fruit virus from impacting the multi-billion dollar U.S. tomato and pepper industry. CBP's announcement comes after a Department of Agriculture federal order, which places restrictions on imported tomato and pepper seed lots and transplants from all other countries. The virus can cause severe fruit loss in tomatoes and in peppers. Now, more agribusiness, and here's Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. Well, we're getting to the end of the weekly crop harvest reports, but yesterday's report showed that 76% of the nation's corn crop is in the bin as of Sunday night. That compares to a five-year average of 92% by this date. Illinois, 80% of the corn crop harvested. Indiana, 80% harvested. Iowa, 77%. And Wisconsin, as of Sunday, had harvested 44% of the corn crop. Soybeans harvested nationally 91%, a little below the five-year average of 95% by this date. Illinois, 92% of the soybean crop harvested. Indiana, 91%. Iowa, 95%. And Wisconsin, 77% of its soybean crop is now harvested. Then the story yesterday about the concern over the shortage of propane gas in rural communities. At least 8 Midwest states have declared emergencies in recent weeks over regional shortages of propane that's needed by farmers to dry their crops amid the late harvest and wet weather. Illinois, North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, Nebraska, Iowa, Indiana, and Wisconsin have eased restrictions on the transport of propane to help alleviate the local shortages. Now, there is no nationwide shortage, and residential propane prices recently were about 22% below that of a year ago. But with the wet planting season and the wet harvest season, farmers in the Midwest do need propane gas to dry those crops. That's AgriBiz. I'm Orion Samuelson. Have a great day.
Thanks, Orion. You as well. On the earnings alert this morning, Home Depot, a rocky third quarter revenue and a key sales figure missing analyst expectations. Home Depot reporting quarterly earnings this morning. The home improvement company also cut its forecast for full year revenue and comparable sales. Also this morning from Penn State University, scientists there say they have developed a new coating that cuts the amount of water required to flush excrement by about 90%. They say it also prevents bacteria from building up in toilet bowls and reduces associated odors. The spray, which is more slippery than Teflon, would be affected by urine and would need reapplication after about 50 flushes. Researchers hope the discovery could help reduce water waste. Every day, more than 100 billion liters of water are used to flush toilets worldwide. That story from the BBC this morning. It is moving up on 542. Coming up here on the opening bell, we're going to focus in on the holiday shopping season. The 29 holiday shopping season is getting underway. You've probably already begun your shopping. John Lear will be here from Morning Consult. A new report about the economic outlook and look in some consumer trends. The headline, Americans feeling very positive as they head into the shopping season. So we'll bring in John in our next segment this morning at about 5:48 this morning. We'll also check in on the numbers on Wall Street again coming up as well. Markets look like they're pretty positive heading to the opening bell a little bit later this morning after a generally positive day in Europe this morning. A little bit of shaky ground in Asia, though, with markets in Japan lower. Everywhere else pretty higher this morning. Also this morning, we're looking at gold and silver mixed, and oil is trading a little bit lower as well. The holiday shopping season getting underway. You've probably already started doing some of your shopping. A new report is out on some of the trends, consumer trends, and the economic outlook for the 2019 holiday shopping season. We're happy to have with us this morning John Lear, who's the senior director of Morning Consult Economic Intelligence. John, good morning. Welcome to WGN.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
It's great having you. I know a lot of people are doing shopping, getting ready to do some shopping, and the report has a couple of key findings, key points that I wanted that kind of jumped off the page at me that I want to start with, and that is just the number of people who are planning to shop this year online compared to actually doing it on Black Friday, so Cyber Monday versus Black Friday.
Right. Yeah, that's a trend that we've seen over the last couple of years, that increasingly consumers are moving away from brick and mortar shops and shopping online, which changes not just the location, but increasingly they tend to shop a little earlier as well.
Yeah, the trends that we're seeing, though, are pretty positive, right? I know Morning Consult's put together this wide-ranging report, and there's so much data to go over, but the upshot is pretty positive, isn't it?
Yeah, well, what we saw was back in late October, there was just this flurry of positive economic news coming out, and that prompted us to look at consensus forecast of holiday shopping. And what jumped out is that most of those forecasts use data from early October, and so that prompted us to say, wait a second, it's time to relook at these forecasts and revise them upwards.
Yeah, so 70% of Americans plan to spend at least $100 during Black Friday weekend. That's the same as last year, but it's just a drop in the bucket compared to what they plan to spend during the whole shopping season, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. But I think if you look sort of at the fundamentals of the strength of the consumer, things are looking pretty good right now. Jobs market numbers came out in October much better than we had expected. And August and September were both revised upward. We've got this stock market booming, which gives makes consumers feel like they've got a little bit more money in their pocket. And tariffs haven't hit inflation the way that a lot of retailers had warned it was going to. And so when you look at those sort of fundamentals and then you tie that back to Morning Consult's daily consumer confidence data, it looks pretty good. It looks like consumers have the money to spend, and they're optimistic enough to go ahead and make the purchase now in November and December instead of waiting until January or February of next year.
Yeah, and John, I want to focus in on the tariffs, the trade part of that, because there was so much doom and gloom about the holiday season and the impact of some of those tariffs. What's the factor there? Is it that companies were just prepared in advance and kind of took the bullet but bit some of this off themselves, or what was going on there?
Yeah, I think it's three things. First is companies prepared in advance, so we could see inventories increasing over the summer. So they're just stockpiling inventories in anticipation of the tariffs. So those goods do not have the same tariffs that others, current imports would. And then retailers, particularly the larger retailers, have some market power, and that allows them to negotiate with their suppliers. And they were, Target, for example, was notorious for coming out and saying that it just simply was not going to accept any price increases from its suppliers due to tariffs. And then when you have these big behemoth retailers saying that, it really pushes the mom-and-pop stores to sort of eat the cost as well.
Yeah, so when it's all said and done, the holiday shopping season likely to be a good one.
I think so. It's very difficult to predict. There's a wide range of holiday shopping forecasts, but if you look at all of the indicators that flow into those models, the numbers since mid to late October have all been really positive.
All right, John, thank you very much for being with us this morning. I know we had some phone problems. John Lear from Morning Consult, Senior Director of Morning Consult Economic Intelligence. I wish we could have had more time for our conversation this morning.